Pray with me as we open God's Word together. Heavenly Father, Lord, right now I call out to you for your Holy Spirit to be at work in our midst. Lord, the last thing any of us need is just another message, just another time spent listening to someone talk. Lord, what we need is to hear from you. We need to hear your voice. We need to hear what you have to say. So I pray that your Holy Spirit would be speaking to us, that your Holy Spirit would be taking your word and making it clear, that your Holy Spirit would be opening our eyes, opening our ears, opening our hearts to receive what you have to say to us. Lord, we pray that nothing short of something miraculous would happen as we look at your word. In saying that, Lord, I acknowledge my dependence on you. And we acknowledge our dependence on you. And we call out to you, Lord, that you would pour out a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, that we might know you better. In Jesus' name, amen. We are studying the Gospel of John together, so if you have your Bibles or your iPhones or whatever, find John chapter 3. You know, it's interesting, there are many, many different religions in the world, and they all have to do, really, with what happens next. What happens in the afterlife? What happens when you die, and how can that afterlife be better? Some say there's heaven and hell, and you want to get into heaven and avoid hell, and others talk about some form of reincarnation, but they all try to say this is how you must live in order to have a better life then. If you get a better life here, that's on top of anything else. They're really concerned with eternity. And of course, one of the true things is there's only one person who has died and come back again. I mean, died. I'm not talking about, you know, the heart stopping for a few minutes on the operating table. And I'm talking about dead, killed, murdered, and by professional executioners, and dead in the grave for 3 days, come back to life again. And that's Jesus. And Jesus said he was going to do it. And Jesus has a great deal of authority on this particular subject. And part of the reason that John has written this gospel is to share with us the things that Jesus did and said so that we would believe in him and have eternal life. And it's something that we really need to pay attention to. Because one of the things that Jesus said is the way to destruction is wide. And the way to life is narrow. That many will walk the path to destruction, but only a few will walk the path to eternal life. And so we better not have the mentality that we'll just go along with the crowd on this one. We better listen to what Jesus said. And in John chapter 3, one of the leaders, the religious leaders of his day, comes to Jesus. And he said, looking at the second paragraph, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And this man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. No one can do these miraculous signs unless God is at work in him." And Jesus gave this strange answer. "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said, "What are you talking about? How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Jesus says something incredibly radical here. He is saying, you don't need some type of improvement program, you know, the list of things to do in order to get into heaven. What is necessary is much more radical than that. You need to be born again. If you're not born again, you ain't going. Quite simply, if you're not born again, you're not going. And we started to look at this last week, and we looked at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, where Paul tells us emphatically that we are dead in our sins, that we are spiritually dead in our sins. But God makes us alive in Christ. That God does this supernatural thing, causing us to be born again. God does it. The being born again, the regeneration that we need, is an act of God Himself. Okay? And we looked at that last week. You can go online and listen to that. Then we started to look last week at this last paragraph. "Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." So somehow this being born of the Spirit is like the wind blowing. You can't explain it, but you feel its effects. Yesterday we were driving and the wind was just howling. And the car going back and forth like this, and I'm driving down the road. And you could feel the wind. And so the question then comes, okay, if this being born again is like the wind, what are the signs of the wind blowing? What are the sounds that the Spirit makes in all of this? What are the indications that someone has been born of the Spirit? How can we tell if someone has been? How can we tell if we have been? What is the sound of the wind? And as we began to look at this last week, we said one of the signs, one of the sounds, is that a person repents and believes the gospel. That a person who has been born again repents and believes the gospel. They believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. They repent. They have a change of direction in their life. They have a change of mind. They leave their life of sin and follow Jesus. They become his disciples. If someone is not a follower of Christ, they're not born again. It's one of the signs. It's one of the sounds that the wind of the Holy Spirit makes, is that a person repents and comes to faith in Christ. It is a sign that a person has been born again. So if you're talking to someone who is not a follower of Christ, you know for sure they have not been born again by the Spirit of God. Because this is one of the signs. What's another sign that a person has been born again by the Spirit of God? Second sign, the person does not live a life of sin. 1 John chapter 3, verse 9 says this, "No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God." Okay? This verse is huge. This verse is incredibly important. Now, some of your versions may translate this a little differently. Literally, the phrase "makes a practice of sinning" is "does sin." And "cannot keep on sinning" is literally "is not able to sin." But the use of the present tense indicates a customary action. It doesn't mean that a person is not capable of sinning, but that they don't live in this life. This is not their customary life. Does that make sense? One of the things that is so important to understand here is that a person who has been born again has changed the direction, the orientation of their life. And the orientation of their life is now to be a follower of Jesus. That's the orientation. And they want to live a righteous and godly life. One of the reasons that I personally find this important is because of the culture that I come out of. Okay? The culture that I come out of in the United States is a quote-unquote Christian country. Okay? And I say, quote, put it in quotes, because that doesn't mean that everybody is a Christian. But a lot of people are. But a lot of people are. A lot of people claim to be. In fact, there are surveys taken of people. Have you been born again? Yes. Well, then they ask lifestyle questions, and they're completely indistinguishable from anybody else. What's going on? What's going on? I struggle to call it a false teaching, although it might be. It's certainly a false understanding that is alive in American churches, and maybe it's alive here as well, that says this. Evangelists come to town and they preach the gospel. They talk about heaven. They talk about hell. They talk about sin and that you're guilty. And if you're guilty, you are going to hell. Anybody here want to go to hell? Nobody wants to go to hell. Okay? How do you avoid going to hell? Well, Jesus came to die for your sins. So if you accept Jesus as your Savior and Lord, you'll go to heaven. So if you want to go to heaven, come down and I'll lead you in a big group prayer. And now you're going to heaven. So people think, oh, I don't want to go to hell. So they march down the aisle and fill out a decision card and hand it in to the evangelist, and he reports it on his website about how many people got born again at his crusade. 10 years later, you talk to the person, and they're living like the devil. They're living like the devil. And you try to talk to them about the gospel, and they say, Oh, yeah, I got saved back at that church meeting. Oh, really? What did you get saved from? Well, I'm not going to hell. Well, who told you that? Well, the preacher did. Well, what about 1 John 3:9? That says those who have been truly born again do not practice sin. Do not live a sinful lifestyle. Because God's seed has been planted in them. The Holy Spirit resides in them. And it won't allow them to. This verse, in the American context, is extremely important. It doesn't mean that the person who's born again never sins. It's not a perfectly sinless life. 1 John chapter 1 says this: if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. The whole purpose of John's writing is so that you live a righteous and holy life. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the propitiation. There's a big word that means the sacrifice that takes away sin. He is the propitiation for our sins. And not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. And by this, we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk the same way in which he walked. He's writing so that you will not sin. And if anyone does sin, we have Jesus who speaks to the Father on our behalf. But don't be deceived. The person who has been born again lives a righteous life. Okay? Think of it this way. Psalm 23, it's one of our favorite psalms. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's what that one. Remember the line? He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The shepherd leads his sheep in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I don't care what the situation is that you're facing. In the middle of it, there is a path of righteousness that he wants to lead you on. I don't know what the problem is at school or in the office or in your family, There is a path of righteousness that the shepherd wants to lead you on. Okay? 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. But God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out, a means of escape, so that you may stand up under it. Any temptation that you face, there's always a path of righteousness to escape it. Always. And the shepherd leads his sheep on this path of righteousness. But we're not perfect. And sometimes we sin. Sometimes we disobey God. Anybody who says they never sin, they just did. They lied. Okay? Okay? We all sin. Our heart is to walk on this path of righteousness. But sometimes we find that we disobey God. Immediately, the Holy Spirit within us starts protesting. The spirit of holiness that has been given to the born-again person starts protesting. That protesting is called the conviction of sin. The Holy Spirit begins making us feel very, very uncomfortable. We sense God's displeasure. We sense a loss of fellowship, a sense of distance. Those of you who are married, guys, you ever done or said something stupid? I mean, it was intentional, but that remark cut like a sword. And now your wife ain't talking to you. But she is communicating loudly. Do you know what I'm talking about? Okay? The Holy Spirit does the same thing. The sense of God's presence is diminished. And yet, the Holy Spirit at the same time is communicating loudly. There is something wrong here. You have done something to damage this relationship. And the person who is born again responds by repentance, by turning around, by having a change of mind and a change of heart, by coming to God for forgiveness. 1 John. We confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And when he does that, we find the sense of fellowship and relationship restored. Okay? This is the cycle that happens with sin in the life of the believer, in the life of the person who has been born again. And part of maturity is entering the cycle less frequently, and also the cycle becomes much quicker. Much quicker. You become much more eager to respond with repentance when you sin. The Holy Spirit doesn't need to pile on the conviction to get you to repent. You repent quickly. You know, sometimes we talk about Christian maturity. Particularly the discussion comes up when it comes to elders. And elders do not need to be perfect. They don't need to be sinless. They need to model this. when they sin. They need to model this when they sin. Okay? Now, the question always comes up when we talk about those who have been born again, do not sin. What happens if it looks like this? What happens if the person was walking on the path of righteousness, they sin, and they just keep on sinning? You would think that conviction would bring them to repentance, but it doesn't appear that they did, that it does. What about that situation? How do we handle that? Every time I'm asked that question, you know, what's the situation of the person who's over there, the red X? Every time I'm asked that question, I always wonder, why is this person asking me this question? Why are they thinking about it? Why are they wondering about it? Are they worried about someone else? Someone who went forward at the crusade and prayed the prayer and now they're living like the devil? Or is this a reflective question about their current situation? You know, I've sinned and the Holy Spirit's convicting me. What happens if, just wondering, preacher, what happens if I don't repent? Okay? What's my status? I've got this go to heaven card. Do I still get to go? Just how much manure can I have on my boots and still go to heaven? It's an important question. And I wonder sometimes when I'm asked it, where is this question coming from? Why is this question being asked? There's two possibilities. Possibility number one is that the person in this situation was never truly born again to begin with. Okay? This person was never truly born again to begin with. In a Christian culture, like the one I come from, that Christian culture, it's very easy to say, yes, I'm a Christian. It's even so socially popular to be a Christian. So there are a lot of people in my culture who say the words, but they're not Christians. And eventually sin takes them away. In 1 John chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2, verse 19, John writes about those who went out from us. They were a part of us, but they went out from us. If they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might be plain that they are not of us. So for some who have gone this route, they were never born again to begin with. The book of Matthew, chapter 7. The book of Matthew, chapter 7. Says this, verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Part of what Jesus is saying to us there is that personal relationship is all important. And that there will be those who are involved in ministry, those involved in the church, who don't have that relationship. They haven't been born again by the Spirit of God. And the reality is, they're living out here. They're living out here. They were never born again to begin with. And so when sin finally snares them, everybody is surprised when it's exposed. But they didn't know the Lord to begin with. So this is one option. Okay? When you see someone who is continuing in sin and not repenting, yet claiming to be a Christian, probably never born again to begin with. So what do they need to do? They need to repent. They need to place their trust in Christ for the forgiveness of their sins and be born again by the Spirit of God. That's what they need. Okay? The other option is that the picture is not accurate. The reality is they're here. And the conviction of sin is piling up in their life. God is bringing increasing discipline in their life. The fruit of what they're doing is bearing wicked fruit, not good fruit. And they are reaping the consequences of living and trying to beat the Holy Spirit that is bringing conviction of sin within them. And eventually, that person will repent. They just haven't gotten to that point yet. They haven't broken yet. And the longer they wait, the more difficult it will become for them. There is no advantage. There is no advantage in waiting to repent. Let me say that again. There is no advantage in waiting to repent. Sin does not bring any blessing. It doesn't bring a blessing in the life of the unbeliever. It doesn't bring a blessing in the life of the believer. It brings death. If you have been born again by the Spirit of God and you're playing with sin, the Holy Spirit is just going to deal more and more and more harshly with you. It's going to get worse, not better, until you repent. Simply put, those who have been born again, repent. Simply put, those who have been born again, repent. And so my question for us this morning is, what about the sin in your life? What about the sin in your life? Are you hanging on to it? Is the Holy Spirit convicting you that there are things in your life that you need to repent of? Or do you have clean hands, clean heart? We sang about it today. We sang about it today. About having a clean hands and a clean heart. But my question is, do you love the mud? Do you love the mud? I was talking about this with Paul, and I told him he had such a good illustration, I was going to steal it. He talked about being in Africa and hearing it put this way. Pigs love mud. They find a mud puddle and they just love it. They roll in it. They want, oh, it's hog heaven if you can find a big bunch of mud and just roll in it. That's just great. A lamb wants nothing to do with mud. A lamb gets a little mud on it and it tries to get out. It tries to get rid of it. It tries to get clean. There's a difference between the lamb and the pig. Which are you? Which are you? A lamb? One of his sheep? Or a pig? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I come before you right now and I ask that your Holy Spirit would be heavy in this place. That your Holy Spirit would be convicting us of the status of our hearts. Lord, whether we have truly been born again by the Spirit of God, whether we have been playing with sin, whatever it is, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would bring conviction. Lord, I pray that pigs would become lambs. I pray that lambs that have gotten dirty would be washed. Let's just take a couple of minutes and allow the Holy Spirit to just speak to our hearts. Remembering that those who have been born again repent. Repent. Repent.